This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. A Bloomington woman is taking matters into her own hands to find a kidney for her husband. It's been more than a year since doctors diagnosed Bloomington resident Taj Mohammed with kidney failure. GLT correspondent Brianna Groh talks with Nisha Mohammed about why she has distributed flyers, taken out newspaper ads, and even written messages on her car looking for someone to donate a kidney to her husband.
He had a major gout attack on his right knee. And actually, that's when they figured out that he had that it was directly related to his kidneys. So we went to a nephrologist, and they diagnosed that, you know, his kidney was failing, and it just almost completely disabled him in his right knee, just ate it up from inside. That took a long time to heal. So from then he was. They found out that it was, and it was on the decline.
So what was the prognosis that he was given? How long does he have to keep his kidney? How long can it be working?
Well, they test him. Mm-hmm. They test him. Like, his kidney function right now is only 12%. Yeah. So, and he kept coming down. You know, at that point I think he was like 30, 40 when they found out, and then. Put him on a lot of medications. So kidney flushes impurities out of your body, and if your kidneys are not able to do that, it kind of circulates in your blood, and that really slows you down, which is what happened to him. You know, a very active man who does everything himself. So it's been tough on him, but he's on medications, and they keep testing him. And I think our doctor nephrologist number is 7 or 8 before you would even put him on dialysis. But then there are a lot of factors involved, his general health condition, which is pretty stable right now, I would say.
So he's not on dialysis, but there are certain steps that you have to take as his primary caregiver to manage his condition. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what that day-to-day life is like.
First thing is a no-salt diet. Because salt causes fluid buildup in your body, and that can, in turn, cause a lot of trouble breathing, and then your heart will get affected. And he exercises every day, still goes on his treadmill, pushes himself for at least 2.5 miles every day. And so, you know, those little things that keeps him active, you know. He's a gardener, but I told him not to go out this year. Yeah, washes his own truck. I mean, it's just a normal life, but it's much slower.
And how are the two of you coping with that? Do you have other family here in Bloomington, support systems?
We are farthest away from everybody. Our closest family are in Canada and California. We have 2 sons, and they're far away, too. One is in Seattle, and one is in Indiana, but he comes and visits us. But I'm doing, no, I think I'm doing okay. I feel like I'm doing better being on my own and taking care of him.
You're listening to Sound Ideas. I'm Brianna Groh. I'm talking with Nisha Mohammed. She's a Bloomington resident using some unorthodox methods to help her husband find a kidney donor. So your husband is told he needs a new kidney. He's been placed on a waiting list at a hospital in Peoria to receive a transplant. But what did doctors tell you about what that would actually look like?
To go on the transplant list, your kidney has to be functioning at 15 or below. So when he reached that number 15, when his nephrologist suggested that he go to Peoria, you know, get tested, extensive testing and evaluation, and they put him on the waiting list. And that waiting list is gone through every year. They test you every year, evaluate you whether you qualify to be on the list still. So he did good after his second evaluation. He's still on the list, and he'll be on it until he gets a kidney.
Tell me about the eligibility to be on the list. Is there anything about age or other factors?
Age, not really. I mean, he's on the high side. He's 71 now, but his kidney doctor said he's had patients who are in their 80s who had transplants. So, yeah, it really depends on their general health. You know, if nothing else is, you know, like serious in their body, then, you know, they can be a candidate for transplant. But for Taj, that's a scary part. Like, you know, after one evaluation, they might say that he's not anymore. that's why we kind of do these unorthodox ways, like you put it, to help us out. And to go on the list, you cannot be a diabetic or have high blood pressure. Those two are the things that causes your kidney to fail in the first place. His doctor said you probably had untreated high blood pressure most of your life and you didn't know. And he's gone on 2 or 3 different medications to keep that under control.
What did doctors tell you would be the likely time that he would spend on that transplant list?
For his blood type, which is O, it's a longer wait. And they gave him a time of between 5 to 6 or 5 to 8 years.
Even if there is a kidney that comes in and it's the correct blood type, he wouldn't receive that organ right away?
Oh, no. Extensive testing. But matching the blood type is the first thing. But there's tissue matching, and they do a lot of lab work on the donor.
And that's another reason it can take so long.
Yes, yes.
So
this girl I was talking to who donated in Chicago, I asked her how long did the whole process take in your case, and she said 2 to 3 months. From the time, actually, they receive a volunteer or somebody who wants to donate, having, you know, the surgery. And I've heard they put them, like, side by side on the beds. And it starts working right away. That's the wonderful thing about a living donor.
So even though there's a chance that an organ could come in for him from the list, you want to find a living donor because that's going to cut down on the time and uncertainty spent waiting on that list. But that effectively means asking strangers.
Well, they encourage us to go out and do all these things on our own. And if somebody is interested, and it happens for thousands and thousands of people across the country, you know, every day, there is somebody out there who will want to donate a kidney to you. How would you find that person? You know, we don't know who it is. So by doing all this, just want people to see the signs and think, you know, and if they're interested, they'll call me. If not, then they won't.
And the signs that you're talking about are a couple different things that you've been doing over the past year and almost a year and a half, including passing out flyers, putting in an ad in the Pantograph.
Right.
But the thing that we noticed was the photo of your car.
Right.
So the message.
I haven't seen it. I don't do a lot of social network thing. I don't do Facebook, but I have started because of this girl who kind of encouraged me to do it and give me the information so she can post it on her site, and you know, and it just goes on that way. So I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, and that was someone who had seen the ad that you placed in the paper.
Probably took a picture, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she called you and said, hey, I have an idea to help you reach more people?
Yeah, she said, I got this from your car, she said. I said, where was it? And she said it was on Veterans Parkway. But she said, I got this, and if you like, I can post this on my Facebook and have other people see it. I said, please do. Yeah.
Yeah, so tell me about the response that you've gotten since you started passing around flyers and putting in ads. Have you've gotten calls?
I have gotten like a couple of calls. One gentleman called, and he was same blood type as my husband's, and I gave him the phone number for the hospital in Peoria. But then after a few days, I called and asked him, you know, were you able to get through to somebody at the hospital? And didn't call him, I texted him. And he didn't reply. So I thought maybe he changed his mind, which they absolutely have a right to do. It's not an easy thing.
Yeah, what did you feel when you didn't hear anything back?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just start over. Keep going.
I'm Brianna Groh, and this is Sound Ideas. I'm here with Nisha Muhammad. She's talking with me about her efforts to find a kidney donor for her husband. How much work have you put into this, trying to find a donor?
I don't feel overburdened or anything. It's just I'm a type of person who likes to do stuff on my own, do it my way, you know? I don't know, maybe I'm getting old, but I don't feel methodically, you know, I just don't want to overwhelm somebody and get too pushy, you know, and be on the phone all the time. But I just take my time and do all this and sort of expect, you know, people to respond. And I understand that if for months it goes by that you don't get any response or any reaction from people, which is fine. We're at the hospital, they tell you that can happen too.
How do you stay positive through something like that?
You have no choice. Yeah, there's no choice but being positive.
Yeah, have you been able to connect to others who have, you know, gotten an organ?
I have not spoken to anybody who did, yeah, who has received a kidney from a living donor. I have not. I have seen stories of people receiving and giving, you know, and how they're doing now after receiving it. That's the benefit of getting a living donor. They take it out and put it in your body at the same time that two surgeries happen. And it starts working instantly. You know, as far as a deceased donor kidney, they can hold it for you. They'll give you a call. They won't chase you around. I mean, you have to be... Your phone has to be charged and at your side every second of the day. And if they call you once or twice, maybe, after that, they're not going to, you know, call. They'll give it to somebody else. So that's another thing. And depending on where, how far you live, with us from here to Peoria is not bad at all. It takes about 40 minutes to get to the hospital. But they suggest that since you're on the wait list, you should not be out of the country. Mm-hmm. Even California would be too far. Seattle will be too far. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You should be within driving distance. So we're home, which is fine. We are such homebodies, too. It doesn't bother us to be home. So that doesn't bother me at all.
What would you say to anybody who is considering becoming a living donor, either in this situation with your husband or whether they wanted to be on a donor registry?
It's a very special person who will do that. That's what the doctors tell us. This one person. I don't know if you saw a story in showing a family at Disney World. And the whole family was wearing a T-shirt that was asking for a kidney. They did a T-shirt, and they got a kidney that way. Yeah, somebody called them and donated. They found a living donor for a kidney. So that's how important this is, to go out there and make sure people see it, you know. And so I'm thinking of the T-shirt, too. Now the weather's warming up. I might do that, too. Yeah. On the deceased donor list, if you're on it for a long time, anything can kick you off the list. You could get sick with something, some other issues, they'll take you off the list. Actually, 50% of the people die just waiting on the deceased donor list because of some other complications that happens, and they cannot be on the waiting list anymore.
And even though your husband is healthy overall and doing well now, that could change.
Yes. And you know, he's 71. That's why it's so important to, like, us cutting down on salt so he doesn't retain too much water in his body, which in turn gets water in his lungs, which happened one time. And, got to keep watching him all the time. You can't eat this, you can't eat that. Yeah, he's good. And his nephrologist has told him, he said, I don't want to put you on dialysis now. You're at 12. And because people have said that if you're feeling so tired all the time and you're not doing stuff you used to do, you know, with as much energy, dialysis helps you. Because it cleans out your blood and gives you all that, you know, strength back. So we talked to him, and I said, why don't we do it? He said, no, once you get on it, you can't get off it until you get a transplant. Once you're on it, you're on it. So he wants to hold off as long as he can, watching him, testing him, make sure he's able to hold off as long as he wants him to. And so I'm hoping he doesn't get on it at all at this point. I'm trying really hard to get him a kidney so he doesn't go on dialysis.
That would change a lot of things for you both.
Yeah, yeah. And some people don't do too well on dialysis as well as a lot of other people do. So with his, considering his age, you know, I always think, I don't know how he's going to do if he goes on dialysis. That's why I want to try hard and see if I can find a living donor that he doesn't have to go through that step.
That's Nisha Muhammad, a Bloomington resident who's looking for a living kidney donor for her husband. For WGLT's Sound Ideas, I'm Brianna Groh.
Those interested in learning more about becoming a donor for Taj Muhammad can call the Muhammads at 309-824-1450 or speak to someone at OSF St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria at 309-624-5433.